As we begin our second week of Advent, we listen to that second reading, which talks about how we're kind of in this state of looking ahead and looking behind, which is what Advent, of course, is all about. But St. Peter says it so wonderful in his reading. And you and I sit here then and say, okay, what makes this season, because we're in purple, different than the season of Lent, which is also purple? And purple, as we know as Catholics, is an element, a sign of penance and repentance. So what makes the distinction between these two seasons? And I would say it's very simply as one is, they're both preparation, right? One, though, is preparing for a new birth. So the repentance would be one of cleaning the house so there's room for a crib. Cleaning the house so that there's a little nursery there for that baby. Sanitizing the place like you people all do so your kids don't get little germs. Putting knickknacks away so that they don't grab them, swallow them. Putting little locks on doors where your chemicals are so they can't get into them. That is a form of penance. It's a stripping away, if you will, but not in a sad or unhappy sense, but one in hope of expectation for the new arrival. Lent, on the other hand, is a little bit different. We're waiting for our judge. So I would think, at least for me, that the expectation isn't the hopeful, joyful sense that we should have during Advent, but one more of a serious tone of looking back at our life and saying, have I lived the way I wanted to live? Have I done what I've wanted to do? Or are there regrets? Am I ready to meet my Maker? Am I ready for Him? Will He say to me as I review my life, well done, good and faithful servant? Or, like today's gospel at the end, will He say, you're like chaff, which will burn in an unquenchable fire? So you and I sit here this second season, or second weekend of Advent, in preparation, a form of penance to await His coming. But again, you and I, being in the state we're in that in-between, which is such a difficult time. As I had a funeral today, I was thinking about what it's like to be in this in-between time, and the beautiful image came to me of a woman giving birth and stopping midway. That's what it feels like, don't you think? Our head's sticking out, but our feet are still in, or the other way around. We've been given a promise, and we've seen the glory of the Lord, but not His fullness. We're still carrying around with us weakness and brokenness. Our world is not at peace. Individuals are not at peace with themselves, let alone countries. It's like we're in the middle of that birth. We are born again in water and the Spirit, but it's not complete yet. It's begun. We're in it, but it's not done yet. We haven't popped out. And there's a pain there. There's a frustration. And there's an element that should be of worry. If He delays much longer, will I be able to hang in there, or will I lose hope? Will I be able to endure this in-between moment and not be fooled by the world around me? Will I be able to persevere? What I began, will I be able to finish? Think of people who have spent their whole lives in good, faithful service of God. And then at the last end, they curse Him. Not because they have some illness and they're not thinking or right, which happens, the Lord knows that, but because they've just lost hope and they've let the worries and the pains of the world cloud what Jesus began in their baptism. It's possible. It is possible, and it does happen, just as it happens that someone can live a miserable life and at their deathbed call the priest and repent from the core of their being, not just simply, well, you know, I think I might want to get to heaven. I probably should tell you I've done something wrong and I'm sorry about it. Not that, but one of, I have blown it. I've really filled with all kinds of regrets. Didn't take care of my family. Didn't work the way I should. I lived for money, lived for whatever. And they change. You and I need to be alert and attentive to what the scriptures are telling us this day. There should be evidence of our repentance. John's calling it out from us. We are the brood of vipers, saying we love God and yet still committing sin. This in-between is a time of frustration, I think, where we know what we want. Paul said it best. That which I want to do, I don't do, and that which I don't want to do, I do. Interiorly, all humans, because we're made in the image and likeness of God, have at our core being the desire to be holy, to be peaceful, to be reconcilers. And yet sin takes over and makes these beautiful people, these beautiful souls, do unthinkable things. Sin has power, friends, and you and I are called to repent of it, to see it for what it is, to name it, call it out, and let the Lord do what the Lord does best, heal us and restore us and deliver us. In order for that to happen, though, we have to rearrange the furniture. We have to make room for the crib so that he can come into our home. And there will be an appropriate place for him there. Not just shoved in a corner somewhere, but a place where you and I can watch him so that he's safe, that we can be attentive to his needs, that we can enjoy the gift of love, which creates new life. Let's ask the Holy Spirit this week that we'll have the courage to show the Lord somehow, some way, some evidence of our repentance, that we are aware of our need, that we are aware of what we've done, and we await with great joy and hope his promise of salvation and deliverance.